Hello and welcome to another episode of the Iconic Womanhood Podcast. Today, I want to share with you something powerful that you can use to elevate your life. But I have to warn you, this thing is powerful, but it can also be quite dangerous if it's not used the right way. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Iconic Womanhood Podcast, where we celebrate and learn from the wisdom of authentic, brilliant, conscious, and creative women from all around the world. This podcast will leave you inspired, empowered, and equipped to become truly iconic. And now, here is your host, Akenna. She is a transformational coach and speaker.
Before I get into this week's topic, I have to ask you to do me a kind favor. If you have not subscribed, if you have not left a review on Apple Podcast, I ask you to please do so. And I also want to ask you to share this. In fact, take a screenshot of this podcast right now. And at the end of it, if it has been resonant for you, please do share it on your IG stories, perhaps, or on your Facebook or Twitter, and tag me if possible, because I would love to know. And even if I don't see it, you are sharing it with your community. You are sharing inspiration. You are sharing empowerment. And that is a powerful spiritual thing to do when you put something good out there. Give, and guess what? It shall be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So I'm going to ask you to go ahead and do that right now. Let's get into today's conversation. Today, I want to talk to you about something powerful that you need to harness to create powerful shifts in your life. In fact, this particular thing is something that I have a whole class on in the Iconic Woman Mastermind. In the Iconic Woman Mastermind, I take people through 7 months of curriculum, 7 months of training. And this particular one is the second month. It is the first power session. It's part of being iconic. It's part of the Iconic Consciousness Suite, right? So in that, you are elevating your consciousness into becoming an icon, and you are becoming powerful. You're becoming someone who can call things into being, so to speak. It can be done. You are activating faith. And I talk about the practical aspects of that. And I talk about how you can do this. In fact, this particular thing that I'm going to share with you, one of my masterminders, she called me after her second month in complete shock. She says, I really need to speak with you. And I said, okay, let's talk. And she said, I'm shocked. I'm absolutely shocked. And she started to tell me how she had gone to one of the best schools in the world. If I mention the university, you will know. She was known to be gifted and talented by those professors that are at the top of their game, right? And she had been wanting to do something. Everyone had expected her to do this thing, but she had not been able to do it. She hadn't been able to put it down the way she needed to. She just could not get through. And it had been quite a long time where she had not been able to do it. And here comes this particular class. She does the class, does the exercises, and it unlocks her. And I'm going to tell you, when I tell you what it is, what the power is, and how to use it, you'll understand what happened. Because something that typically takes months to do, she was able to do it in a matter of days. And something that she had been wrestling for and with for years, she was able to bring it forth literally after listening to this class on this particular thing. And so I can't give you a class right now. There's a podcast episode, but I am going to give you something to think about and some tools to begin to use around this particular thing. By now, you must be asking, what is the thing? Can you get to the point already? That's okay. Patience. Okay, before you throw the phone in frustration, let me get to the point. I want to first tell you that I watched a movie that highlighted it so perfectly. And it highlighted the power and the danger of this thing so perfectly. And so even though the movie has been said to be a very bad movie, I can't really confirm or deny. I'm not a movie critic, and so I'm not going to start telling you that it wasn't great, it was great. You know, I don't know whether the CGI was worthwhile. I don't know if it was, you know, predictable. I'm not here to talk about the plot as far as the quality of the plot from a filmmaker's perspective, because I'm not a filmmaker. But what I am here to talk about is the lesson in the story. And the movie that I'm talking about is WW84, which is the new Wonder Woman movie, Wonder Woman 84. It's called 84 because it's set in 1984. And when I watched this movie, I found it so clearly a metaphor for this particular thing. In fact, it wasn't a metaphor, it was just a story, a parable. It was so clear what it was trying to say, or at least what I got from it. I don't know what it was trying to say, but I'm telling you what I got from it, because we see things as we are, not necessarily as the thing is. So I saw it through the lens of transformation and the lens of a coach and the lens of faith. And I saw something and I felt like I needed to share that with you. So the movie in Wonder Woman, and I don't know if you've watched it yet, but if you haven't watched it and you want to watch it, I warn you right now, there will be spoilers in this particular podcast. So if you don't want to have those spoilers, you might want to pause this and come back to it after you've watched it. But if you don't intend to watch it or if you don't care, carry on. So in the movie, Wonder Woman has come across this artifact. She's working in a museum and her counterpart has come across this artifact, and she's a geologist or a gemologist, I'm not sure which. And there's this particular artifact that is a kind of stone. And Wonder Woman knows it's made by one of the gods, right? Much like her truth lasso. And she talks about how her truth lasso is imbued with an element, the element of truth, and that is where it gets its power. And this stone turns out to be a wishing stone. You wish upon it and your wish is granted. And so I was sitting with my daughter and we were watching this movie, and I said to her, what element do you think, using the language of the movie, what element do you think is this particular wishing stone imbued with? And she said, after thinking for a second, desire. 100% spot on, desire. Desire is very powerful. The ability to know what you really want. Desire is the seed of intention. When you have clarity on your desire, that desire can actually propel you. It can propel you to action. Now, desire is, and I'm going to share with you some scripture that talk about that illustrate the power of desire. Because when you want something bad enough, you get up and you go get it. The challenge is, a lot of women that I've come into contact with, some men too, but a lot of women, particularly women of faith, run from the concept of desire, or they have seeded their desires for so long, as in given it away. You know, they just give it up and say, I don't care about my desires. Let me take care of my daughter, my son, my husband, my mother. They're busy taking care of everyone else's desires and they don't look at their own desires. In fact, some of us have been taught to believe that our desires are indulgent. And so we don't think about what we desire. In fact, we think we are more noble and more righteous when we don't honor our desires. I want to share with you why that's a mistake. The reason why women of faith in particular that come from those sorts of backgrounds are scared of desire is because you can have desire that isn't good desire, and that desire can be dangerous, as illustrated in the movie. So in the movie, people were wishing on the stone, right? And when they wished upon the stone, they got their wish, but the stone was able to take certain things back. right? So it takes your most valuable thing. So one of the ladies, that she was mousy and she was insecure and unsure of herself, and she decided to wish on the stone to be more like Wonder Woman. She wanted to be sexy and strong and confident, and she just asked to be like Wonder Woman. And so she became, including the secret superpowers that Wonder Woman had. She got all of that. But what the stone took from her was her humanity, her kindness, her empathy, the best part of her. Wonder Woman herself wished for her love from the past Wonder Woman film, if you remember, who had died. She wished him back into existence. And so he was there, and what she lost in return were her powers. And the whole world was wishing, because the antagonist of the movie became the wishing stone. He wished to be the wishing stone, and he knew how it worked. And so he would grant wishes and take things in return. And his plan was to have more and more and more and more. And pretty soon, when everyone was wishing and wishing and wishing, the world devolved into chaos, into destruction, into mayhem, all of the above. It was terrible. And I say it was terrible, not because the film so wonderfully illustrated that, but because as I was watching it, I was thinking about how dangerous it is when people pursue their own selfish desires above all else, when it is all about what they want without thinking about what is right. And so desire is not the bad thing, but you can have evil desires and you can have good desires. You can have another way of looking at it. The scripture says you can have desires of the flesh and you can have desires of the heart. When I teach the desire module in the mastermind, it is not the first thing we do. The first thing we do is soul work. The first thing we do is ego work. The first thing we do is walk through a process that takes you through the dark night of the soul, so to speak. It is an awakening. It is a consciousness-raising experience. It's a place where you come to know yourself and you lay down the things that have been holding you back. You confront yourself. And in that first module, it can be a little heavy. You know, a lot of crying sometimes happens because you really become aware of yourself. But when you know how you had a good long cry and you release it all and you feel almost lighter, that's how you feel after the first module. I do that. And because this program is divinely inspired, it's divine design, it isn't just me, even though I'm trained and I have all, you know, a lot of knowledge backing me up, including experience. This does not come from me. It comes through me. And so when I was putting together the design, I got divine inspiration. And this is necessary first before you teach this. Why? Because if you have not done your soul work, your heart work, if you have not gone deep, if you've not gone inside of yourself, if you don't know who you are, if you're still carrying around insecurity and brokenness, if you're still carrying around hurt and pain, if you are still looking for something to validate you, if you're still attached to things, then when you understand the power of desire and you begin to try and harness it, much like the antagonist in the movie, you can do harm to yourself and do harm to others. You can become one of these types of narcissistic, toxic people. See, when we look at people, it's very quick for us to, you know, just demonize them and say, he's a narcissist, she's a narcissist, she's toxic. But those words to me are not judgments, they're diagnosis. And I'm not talking about a psychological diagnosis, because there are people who will tell you narcissists can't change, and perhaps they can't in the psychological world, but I tell you, no one is too far for the Spirit of God to reach. Brokenness, behavior, whatever it is, anything that isn't what we want it to look like. And I don't mean with our natural eyes, I mean things that are not in alignment with the way God wants us to live, our diagnosis, their symptoms that tell us that this person needs to be connected to God. Now, I know not everyone believes as I do, and that's okay, but I have to tell you the truth as I've come to understand it and the way I live my life, and this has helped me. And so I'm unapologetic about my faith. I'm unapologetic about what I understand and how it has transformed my life. And so it is infused into every single thing I do. It is who I am. And so I want to share with you some scripture on desire to really highlight this idea of desires of the heart and desires of the flesh. What I want you to get is a few key concepts here. One, desire is powerful. And in fact, you need to get comfortable getting clear on your desires. Two, you need to know that you're using the desires of your heart and not the desires of your flesh. The desires of your flesh are going to be selfish. The desires of your flesh are going to be egocentric, ego-driven. The desires of one's flesh, depending on the state of who they are on the inside, can even be evil. But the desires of the heart come from a person and a place of being in alignment with God. They come from a place of healing, of love. The desires of the heart, when you connect to those things, when you connect to it, when you're clear on it, because the desires of the heart are purpose manifesting, then you harness the power there. And so you can't run from desire altogether because you won't be able to be propelled forward. I want to share with you some scripture before I go any further. Let's talk about some of the scriptures that talk about when desire is damaging. The scripture that I wanted to really reference for you comes from the book of James, chapter 1. And it is 14 and 15. And it says, but each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. There are other translations that say dragged away by their own desire. And one even says dragged away and trapped by their own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So I want you to pay attention to certain things. Lured and enticed, dragged away. Desire has an ability to pull you even outside of yourself. I want you to think back to when you were a little kid, you know, or if you've been around any little kid. Some kids that would sleep, you can't get them up in the morning, right? They want to sleep forever. They just want to sleep and sleep. But you tell them they're going to Disney World. They have such a strong desire. They are up at 4 a.m., showered and waiting by the door. Because they have such a strong desire, it pushes them even outside of the things that they're used to doing. When you have a strong enough desire, you'll get certain things done. You'll show up for yourself. When you have clarity of that desire, it can drag you. It can drag you. It can conceive things. It's talking here about the damaging side of desire when your desire is evil. But this is what desire can do as a force, so to speak, right? So I really want you to connect to that, but also connect to the damage that can be done when your desire, when you focus on a desire of the flesh, something that has to do with just taking care of you, being selfish, being jealous, being divisive, being, you know, even when we talk about things like privilege, for example, right now we're having this whole conversation about privilege, when you refuse to acknowledge it because it benefits you, you are in a place where you're being enticed by your desire. A desire of the flesh. I want to win at all costs. I want to be on top, which means that I don't want anyone else to be there with me. I want to have money at all costs, desire of the flesh. And it starts out in that place, but then it conceives something. It conceives, you're being enticed and you're being lured, and then it conceives and gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, What that means to me is when it's entrenched. Have you ever met somebody in a place where sin is fully grown? That person is not trying to hear reason. That person doesn't care. That person is so deeply entrenched in that, it brings forth death. It's so important that we become deeply aware of the damage that can happen when we allow ourselves to be moved by desires of the flesh. Galatians 5 verse 16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." When you invite the Holy Spirit into your process, it is the best way to start your process as a believer. If you're not a believer, feel free to leave this where it is. But for me, I can't tell a lie. And in fact, let me tell you something, that at the beginning of my work, in fact, before I knew I would do this work, well, I think I've shared the story. I don't know if I've shared it on this podcast, but certainly with my masterminders, I had an experience that now I look back on and I'm like, huh, did that really happen? Was that in my mind? What happened? So I bought a book, and I don't remember where I bought the book, what bookstore I bought it from. This was back when we had bookstores. That shows you how long ago this was, right? I bought this book, and I think it was like at one of the used bookstores. And it was a book about a woman who was a motivational speaker, who was, she became very well known as someone who was doing this sort of work. And this wasn't even at the time when motivational speakers were really well known. So I didn't, that book was interesting to me because I hadn't seen any templates like that. But in the book, she became toxic. And toxic is putting it mildly. The book actually talked about her having becoming evil, so to speak. It was an interesting book. I cannot tell you the name. In fact, I have looked for that book in my library, and I have many, many books in my library. I've looked for that book, and I cannot find it. But I remember reading this book and thinking, wow. Because there was a point you could see the junction in the book when she took a turn that took her down a certain path, and that path eventually led to her destruction. And so I remember that book, and I remember having a sense of an admonition in my spirit that be careful, however you walk in this life, lest you take that wrong turn. And when it became clear to me that I had a calling to do this work, I was reminded in my spirit of that story. And I made a commitment. And I asked the Holy Spirit to walk with me as I walked, because I didn't want to get lost. I didn't want to be like a vessel that the word came through, but I myself was not changed. I didn't want to be false. I didn't want to end up chasing fame or chasing money or chasing anything, chasing flesh, and end up losing my life, my soul. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? I think it's really important that we have this conversation about desire, and in particular desires of the flesh, in this particular season when you're beginning to hear so many things around 6 and 7 and 8 figures. Nothing is wrong with those things. If you listen to yesterday's podcast, you know that money is not the problem, the attachment to it is. If you need those things to feel as if you're doing what you're supposed to do, that's a challenge, because you are supposed to be looking after purpose. You're supposed to be walking after purpose and not anything else. Profits will come when you are in an aligned state and you are doing what you're supposed to do, and you're walking by faith and you're making things happen. Profits will come. But purpose is the principal thing. I personally can testify that it's taking me a little while, right? The first couple of years in my business, I've said this before, I wasn't making money. It was something, I was doing it because I loved it. I was just focused on that. It was more like a hobby. And then at some point it became a bit of a hustle. I was making some money, but it wasn't a lot of money, and it didn't come that easily, so to speak. And then I really got into flow. I really got into the work that I do now. This is what I teach people because I've lived it literally, right? I really got into alignment, really did the inner work, really went deep, walked through my own dark night of the soul and began to understand certain things. And my business is markedly different than what it was before. We have employees. Okay. Thank you, Lord. I have a sense of ease and consistency. And God has shown me that He is still taking us further. I think it's really important that you don't get sucked into chasing things for chasing things' sake. That you don't start chasing numbers, but you chase purpose. If you must chase anything, chase purpose. It's really important because if one isn't careful, the desires of the flesh will cause you to be in a place of destruction. Romans 8 verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit." If you want your desires to be the desires of your heart, the desires of the heart that are in alignment with the Spirit of God, then it is time to start setting your mind to things of the Spirit. Why am I here? What am I meant to do? How am I meant to change things for the better? What impact am I supposed to have? How am I seeking the kingdom? And so even when you put your vision boards together or your vision statements, yes, of course you want to be comfortable. Yes, of course you want a certain house and all of those things, fine, right? But that shouldn't be the primary thing. Tell me about the lives that you want to impact. Tell me about the way you want to change the world. Tell yourself that because that's purpose. That's the desire of your heart. And let me tell you what God says about the desire of your heart. He says in Psalm, "Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart." Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. When you delight yourself in the Lord, those desires will come and be manifest. But if you don't even have clarity, and let me tell you how I think that works practically. For me, this is how it has worked. You delight yourself in the Lord, which I do, right? And what happens for me is I get things like divine downloads, and I get divinely inspired to do a program, and I get divinely inspired to create a retreat or whatever product in my business that is a purpose-driven business. I'm divinely inspired. And when I do that, I see the impact, the results. I've shared testimonies about how I was supposed to do a retreat quite a few years ago now. I think it was my second retreat. And at the time in my business account, I told you, first couple of years, I was just doing it to do it. But it came to pass after I had written everything down. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do it. Even though there was no money in the account, it came to pass that we had that retreat in the most expensive at the time at the Mandarin Oriental here in Atlanta, one of the most expensive hotels in Atlanta. And it was gorgeous. It was wonderful. And it was by faith. Desire can drag you away. Desire dragged me towards the front, dragged me towards the experience, despite the fact that I was afraid. Because people ask me, aren't you ever afraid? Desire pushes past that. I'm desiring to be purposeful. And that pushes past any fear. Of course I'm afraid. But desire drags me. And it's a good kind of drag. It's a good kind of drag. It's so important that you recognize why you must allow yourself to be impacted by a life of desire, by living with desire, getting clear in your desire and letting your desires create intentions. And those intentions, you pay attention to them. And when you pay attention to them, you make sure that you're living a life in alignment. When your heart is in the state that it needs to be, when you have brought the Holy Spirit into your process, when you are in a state where you're connected and submitted to God, when you are in a state where you're spiritual, right, not just religious, when you are walking, being led by the Spirit of God, then your desires are desires of the heart. Proverbs 13 verse 12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life, not a fruit of life for just you to eat, a tree of life that will give shade to many, a tree of life that will give fruit to many, a tree of life that has roots that run deep." So it's important that you begin to get clear on the desires of your heart and fulfill them. Fulfill them. What are some of the steps that you can take towards that? I've said pray, invite the Holy Spirit into your process, write out the desire as clearly as you can. And I want to invite you right now to think about being part of the Iconic Woman Mastermind, where I take you even deeper in this process. I want you to get clear on your desires and make things happen. All you have to do is go to iconicwomanmastermind.com, hit the button that says apply now, and let's talk, let's connect, let's take you to your next level.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to subscribe and tell a friend. If you are listening to this show, it probably means you are ready to move from success into significance. Please visit us at iconicwomanhood.com and get a free gift to help you on your journey.